Hey, folks, what would you do this summer with all the money you'd save if you didn't have a car payment for the next 5 months? Hopefully, buy lots of merchandise for the Mike Church Trading Post. Well, right now at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer's on Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul, or the high-tech Kia Forte, or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. Bulldog Kia is where Mrs. Church and I have purchased our vehicle since 2011. They're great friends, and they'll treat you right, too. And for Mike Church Show listeners anywhere in the continental U.S., they will ship your new Kia to you for free. Don't cost nothing. That means your new Kia is only a click or call away. For details, call them at 855-BULLDOG or go to bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia.
System, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Are you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
The woman in the red dress. Are we paying attention to the real problems out there, or are we sure that it has something to do with some silly Democrats pulling off a sit-in in the House of Representatives? Are we paying attention to the real problem out there? A bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt, de facto versus de jure, illegitimate, evil government? Or are we watching the woman in the red dress? We've got to be paying attention to, folks, to the real problem out there. It is not the Democrats staging a political stunt of a silly, immature, childish, stupid sit-in in the House of Representatives. If that animates you and gets you all bothered, so much so that you can't pay attention to your day, you are apoplectic about the gall of those Democrats staging a sit-in in the House of Representatives, well, you will get wall-to-wall coverage over on mainstream talk radio about that. If you are animated about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump going head-to-head in their speeches, if that ignites you and excites you, and you think that's the most important thing in the world, I can assure you that is representative of the woman in the red dress. You are distracted by the meaningless and ignoring the obvious that we have a bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt evil government on our hands residing in Washington, D.C. Take your eyes off the woman in the red dress. Help your fellow man unplug the matrix cable that he or she may not even be aware they have in the back of their heads. You are on a rescue mission. That's what the Mark Kreslin Show is all about. By the way, welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be, live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time to 8 a.m. Central Time, followed by my good friend Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show. He starts at 8, goes to 11-ish. That's live programming, almost up to 12 o'clock. And then throughout any given week, we offer other opportunities for live programming, including my good friend Suzanne Sherman, who's broadcasting live today from 12 to 1 on the Suzanne option. So there will be no reason to touch that dial except to go and listen to mainstream talk radio analyze with breathless anticipation what's going to happen in the House. What will Speaker Ryan do? Will he exercise some House rule? Will he call in the sergeant at arms? Will he force those Democrats off the floor who staged an incredibly immature and childish, just evidence number 4087, why we need to break up the union, why we need to throw off this bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt government. Do you really want, do you even want to be under those people, regardless if they're in power or not? Do you really, it's embarrassing. It's so childish, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it other than to just point out that they did it. You all know it. But if you're animated by that, if that's what agitates you, if that's what gets you upset and frustrated, well, then you'll get wall-to-wall breathless coverage of that today over on mainstream conservative talk radio. But if you want to talk about real solutions versus sophomoric solutions, well, then I'm glad you joined us here. It is a live program, broadcasting live, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time, 5 days a week. You can call the program anytime you'd like at 844-527-8723-844-5-CRUSADE. I also direct you over to my website, markkreslins.com. You'll see my writings over there. I'll be trying to get some new stuff up here. We'll see what happens after the end of the day. Today, we'll have a good read on whether or not the EU is going to be minus one member nation, sovereign country, or will they maintain their current status of 28, a conglomeration of 28 states. So I'll write about that this week over on my website, markkreslins.com. Through that website, you can contact the show anytime you'd like, mark@markkreslins.com. You can also follow me over on Facebook/The Mark Kreslin Show, and on Twitter, which, by the way, I have to bring it up. Also want to welcome to the show the incompetent. He has not yet done enough to even arrive back at marginally competent, executive producer of the show, Trent Kreslin. Trent, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good. You going to have a flare of competency at all today, you think?
Well, we'll play that by ear.
So when you woke up this morning, did you wake up thinking, today I am going to be a competent executive producer, or did you just wake up and say, let's just see how it goes?
Let's just see how it goes.
You see, that's the parenting I've provided to the United States of America, to your community. That's the responsible approach to life that I have parented in my son of going on 23 years. Let's just see how it goes. Any initial observations, thoughts on the world, that the things that occurred in the world overnight? What do you think about the Democrat
sit-in? I just thought the sit-in was ridiculous. I had read about it just before I went to sleep last night, and they were doing chants, they were singing. As I saw a picture of them sitting on the floor, it struck me as incredibly childish. Incredible. Like, half these people don't even believe what they're doing.
No, it's just a complete stunt. And, you know, I kind of think they are hearkening back to the civil rights movement. And, you know, instead of walking across the bridge in Selma, Alabama, they're staging a sit-in in an air-conditioned U.S. House of Representatives. We're going to show those people. Pretty crazy. I mean, it's just completely embarrassing. It's kind of a reflection of the state of the world, isn't it? Well, as you know, today is a big day. We'll get to that story here in a few minutes. Today is a big day in the European Union, in the United Kingdom. Today is the day they decide whether or not they're going to secede. Get that word in your mind, anchored in your mind. It is going to be the wave of the 21st century. Populism, people are getting sick of their central overlords, as Mike refers to them. They're, in our case, our federal overlords, ruling us and telling us what to do. We're getting sick of it. Because inevitably, it equals some kind of pain. And there is that is undergirding part of why they want to leave the European Union. There's a populism that's emerging around the globe. We see it in the Trumpster. Let's be honest. The Trumpster's rise to fame has nothing to do with being a policy wonk, because Donald Trump is not a policy wonk. In fact, my guess is he knows very little about policy. He is a businessman who knows how to make deals that are generally win-win deals. And but he says he expresses the anger that most people feel in these United States towards a whole host of targets, including the federal government, including even more narrowly the Republican Party. And he gives voice to the people that are angry. Now, it's not all Americans. That's why I can't stand it when people say the American people. There is no monolithic American people. There are times I probably wander into that phrase, but it's not because I really intend to choose it. My brain has just gotten ahead of my mouth at that point and threw it out. But there's no such thing as a monolithic American people. It's one of the issues I want to talk about today in light of what's going to happen today over in the United Kingdom. So Trump doesn't speak for the American people. Trump speaks for a relatively small segment of the American people. We know there's 14 million of them that went and voted for him during the Republican primaries, that in their mind, Donald Trump expressed the anger they felt towards a whole host of targets, from immigration to taxation to a feeling of humiliation. Where do you think the term, I'm going to make America great again, came from? A sense that people have that America's better days are behind her, if we were a monolithic country. The guy's brilliant insofar as he understood there was this raging, angry demographic out there. None of the other candidates who were so smart with their big campaign operations could figure that out. Trump came along and figured it out. Now, whether he really understood that at the very beginning of his campaign, I don't know. But what is clearly become clear to me is that during the campaign, he has emerged as somebody who understood that there is a high level of anger out there. My guess is that number is much bigger than 14 million people that voted for him that are angry at something. There's just a lot of people that are angry and just said, the heck with it. There's nothing I can do about it. My guess is there's a large number of people, maybe some in the listening audience, that have come to the conclusion, I'm angry. I don't like what's happening, but there's nothing I can do about it. And you know what? In our current system of government, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Your conclusion is exactly right. There's nothing you can do about it. You can write all the letters to Capitol Hill that you want. You can go down and carry your signs on the mall in Washington, D.C., and you're going to show them. You can do all that you want, and it will not matter a hill of beans. You can run to the polling booth in November and cast your vote. It will not matter. It doesn't. Your individual effort to stop this thing, to change this bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt national masquerading as a federal government, your individual effort will mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. Your greatest chance of actually affecting the bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt government would be if you ran for office and somehow got yourself elected to some position that could either challenge directly the authority of Washington, D.C., or at an even much more minute scale, if you ran for some congressional office and got elected, you might have a tiny, tiny bit of influence. This is, I heard a campaign commercial the other day from a congressman running down here, or a House member running here in the state of Oklahoma. And if you heard the campaign commercial, you would conclude that this person really is the president of the United States, because after all, he's going to cut $21 billion of waste from the federal government. Well, a congressman cannot do that. They're a body of 435 individual members from individual congressional districts in Congress. It's amazing to me how little people really understand how government works. One congressman can do nothing. Even a committee chairman, even the second most powerful person in the House, a committee chairman, especially if you're the chair of the Ways and Means Committee or the Budget Committee or the Rules Committee, the most powerful committees in the House, even a chairman by himself cannot do anything. Now, he can manipulate, he can offer all kinds of sweetheart deals to buy votes, to support his cause, but he has to build a majority. The Speaker of the House cannot cut anything. But yet you hear these campaign commercials, and it sounds like the guy you're voting for really is kind of a co-president. And if you send me back to Washington, I'll cut $21 billion of wasteful spending. Well, number one, the person who's running never says over what period of time that $21 billion will be cut. Number two, $21 billion in a $4 trillion budget, dollar budget ain't that much money. It sounds big to the voters. Yeah, that's my guy. He's going to go back there and cut $21 billion. Number one, he can't do it. Number two, it ain't that much. So, in the out chance that you got yourself elected to Congress, guess what? You're going to go up there and find out very quickly you can't do anything as an individual. So all this energy that's going to be poured into this election that is expressed now through Donald Trump as the angry vote, it will amount to nothing. And this is the story of the American voting population, if you will. For the last 30 years, it's meaningless what we do in November. You as an individual can do nothing, absolutely nothing. This thing is a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt government. It is on autopilot. I'm just telling you the facts. So the Mike has titled the network, branded the network as Veritas Radio Network. It is translated from Latin to our language as truth. The truth may hurt, and you may not want to hear that your vote, your participation in this alleged political process is meaningless, but folks, that is the truth. That is part of the matrix cable that's plugged into your family and friends and neighbors' head, keeps feeding information into their brain that this is the most important election of our lifetime. There's almost a Pavlovian reaction when they hear the term, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Chills run up and down their spine, their legs get a little bit weak in the knee, and they really do believe this is the most important election of our lifetime. How do I know that? Because that used to be me. I may have had two or three matrix cables stuck in my head. I used to believe when I heard the mainstream talk radio or Fox News or any other major publication out there talking about this is the most important election of our lifetime. And both parties do it. You ever notice it's not just the Republican Party that says that? It's the Democrats say the same thing. But I would hear that phrase and I would think, oh my gosh, that's right. This is the most important election of our lifetime. This is not the most important election. None of these elections are the most important election of your lifetime. The most important election of your lifetime, if we ever got around to it, is exactly what they're doing in the UK today. They're voting on whether or not they want to take back their independence, whether they want to become an independent, sovereign country again. That's what this boils down to. This thing will exercise in November, where we'll run off and vote for Hillary or Trump. We'll get our I voted sticker. We'll wear it proudly. And if you vote for Trump, you'll say, there, I showed them. If you vote for Hillary, you'll say, I showed old Hillary. You showed them nothing. This is the illusion they paint for you to believe what you do in the political process matters. It can't. It's too big, as I was describing on yesterday's show. I hope many of you went to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheMarkCreslinShow, and watched that Sandy Springs, Georgia video. There, one of the reasons that they, well, the three reasons that they decided to secede from Fulton County and start their own little incorporated city was because they came to the conclusion they wanted local control over their government. They didn't want a county council bossing them around. They wanted to run their own county. This is a city. This is a city of 100,000 people. Number two, they wanted to keep their tax dollars in their city. Oh, what a novel idea. So the money that they confiscate from each other through their own city ordinances at least stayed in their city. And number three, they wanted to have a voice in government again. That would be the only vote that would matter. If you actually voted to take back local control of your state, let's just deal with states right now. We got 50 of them. I'd prefer 3,143 republics. We'll get to that later. Let's just say right now we would like to take back local control, i.e., we want to take back control of our state from Washington, D.C. We don't want it to control us anymore. We want to keep our tax dollars in Oklahoma. We don't want to send them out to some group of bureaucrats or fraudulent elected officials in Washington, D.C. We want to keep all our federal, if we're going to be forced to be taxed at some level to pay for something at this stage of the game, I'd prefer to keep it in Oklahoma where we can at least have a better shot of managing it. And number three, a voice in government. Your voice in this national structure, governmental structure is meaningless. Absolutely. It is an absolute act of futility to think your vote matters at the national level. It doesn't matter a bit. But it could matter in your state. You can at least get to your House member. Here in Oklahoma, we've got one House member for about 35,000 people. You can meet your state representative probably at your local Walmart. If you've had it with your state representative, it's a lot easier to get him out or her out than it is your congressman. So how about we start thinking about applying the Sandy Springs principle to our own ideas about how we want to interact with one another in these United States of America. We want to have local control. We want to keep your tax dollars. If you're forced into being taxed, keep it close to you where you can actually control where it's being spent. And number three, how about we try to regain a voice in our government? You have none right now in Washington, D.C. None whatsoever. Zip, nada. They don't care. I used to work there, friends. Believe me, I speak from an experiential knowledge. I used to work there. It hasn't changed for the better since I left. If anything, it's gotten much worse. As I said yesterday, when you send in your letter and you're writing your congressman over some issue, if it's a political issue, it stays in Washington, D.C. If it's a constituent issue, then it goes back to the district and the a case manager is assigned back in the district office. So if you're having problems with some agency, that typically goes back to the district office. If it's a political matter, we want you to protect the Second Amendment, Congressman Smith. Well, that stays in Washington, D.C. And guess what? That letter, and they came in daily by the boatloads, the receptionist opened those letters, would put a little, in our office in particular, would put a little sticker on it, would try to narrow down what the heck the constituent is talking about. Then each one of us who were legislative assistants or legislative correspondents, we oversaw a particular area of the federal government, i.e. not in terms of control, just monitoring what's going on. And then she would open up all those envelopes. Every morning I would hear her out there with her letter opener, ripping through envelope after envelope after envelope. She'd put this little tag on it. Then that tag would identify the issue that the constituent was writing about, and then that would then get disseminated out to the various legislative staff, and we would write a response. Unless, of course, you were a donor. If you were a donor, well, that letter may actually go to the congressman. Usually after the chief of staff read it to see if it's something that the chief of staff can deal with, or is it something that the congressman needs to deal with. Or if it slipped through our front office people, slipped through their hands and got back to our desk, we would then make the assessment. We would say whether or not, this one shouldn't be on my desk, this one should go to the congressman. And then it would go there. So the person who's sitting at their home breakfast table writing a letter to their congressman thinking, I've got to let my congressman know about so-and-so, you got to understand, folks, they don't get the letters. That's not how the game is played. It just isn't played that way. I have a fact base from which to draw from. I was there. I saw it. I know how this thing works. You don't matter except being programmed to believe you have to go and vote for that person, typically based on party. So you're going to see history today. Now, whether they stay or whether they go, I don't know. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But I will assure you that if you think the big news of the day is the Democrats staging a sit-in, if you think the most important, this is the most important election of our lifetime, if you think getting the Republican Party in control of Washington is somehow really important, then that's the kind of coverage you'll get. Breathless coverage all day over there on mainstream conservative talk radio. However, if you want real solutions to real problems, then you're going to want to keep it here on the Veritas Radio Network. We have real solutions here. Hard ones, but real ones. But you got to understand first, you got to unplug the matrix cable from your head, believing that somehow this election matters, that this is the most important one of our lives. It just is going to perpetuate what is already out there. I do want to draw your attention to further evidence of our culture melting down. Yesterday, I talked about a braless protest in a high school in Montana because a young lady up there, well, a young girl, I should say, not very much of a lady, decided that she wanted to snap some boys' necks as they whiplashed their head around to look at this young girl up there who decided to go to high school without a bra. Well, apparently her leadership, her bold stand for braless women has now led to a increased movement. The headline of this article is, "Feminist organizes a no bra day to teach men not to sexualize women's bodies." Just stop and think about that headline for a minute. We're going to completely sexualize ourselves. We're gonna force you men to draw attention to our bodies by making it easier to see more of our bodies. This is the article. It's from the Daily Wire. A student from Helena High School in Montana, Caitlin Jervik, was seriously disturbed about men sexualizing women's bodies. Women, you're sexualizing your own bodies. It doesn't take anything for men to already be there. Hey, newsflash to women in the listening audience. Guys already look at girls. I don't know if you realize, I don't know if you understand that, but guys are programmed, designed by God to find women. The Bible puts it this way. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Guess what the act of finding requires? Looking. I don't think we're drawing our wives out of a lottery at this point, though I could see some value to that, I think. Designed properly. But I don't think we are lots for our wives at this point. We're out finding them, and that requires that we look. So it's already inherent in men to sexualize women. What catches our attention? This is how silly it's gotten. I can't even believe I even have to talk about this on the radio, on a radio program. What catches an average guy's attention? Is it her smile? Is it her wit when you haven't talked to her yet and you don't know anything about her wit? Is it her intellectual command of various topic matters when you haven't talked to her yet? No, that's not what catches a guy attention, women. I can't believe I'm not going to talk about it any further. You get the point. Old Caitlin up there, an 18-year-old wise and profoundly knowledgeable Caitlin, was seriously disturbed about men sexualizing women's bodies. So she decided to organize a no-bra day at Helena, a day where perky high school girls would walk the halls and go to classes braless in protest. Oh, what a protest. Just, it's right up there with the Democrats staging their sit-in in the House of Representatives. That'll show them. Talk about a dagger in the heart of patriarchy. I don't know how male privilege will ever rebound from the onslaught of braless girls. Do you know how many guys are sending money to this organization to advance annual 365 days a year braless protests? Quote, it was about gender equality and teaching people not to sexualize women's bodies, she told The Guardian, explaining her motives for organizing the protest. Of course, by gender equality, Jervik means sameness, which, of course, stand side by side with a, put a man and a woman side by side, and guess what you're going to figure out pretty quickly? We ain't the same. This is the silliness of this whole stupid gender debate. It's really not about gender. It's about biology. Would you trust the opinion of anybody that actually promotes the idea that men and women are exactly the same? There are so many differences between us, and we live in this stupid culture that tries to nullify, if you will, biology. You can't do it. This is God's design. Deal with it. They go, after this article goes down to write, after all, male and female breasts are exactly the same, or something like that. And it goes on and on and on, talks about this great protest. So, you know, just evidence of further... evidence of the culture has melted down. The Black Hawk is down. It's not going down. It's down. The culture is down. This is just more evidence of it. Which then, of course, has to lead you to the question, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? See, I don't want to come on the air here Monday through Friday and just moan and groan and say, well, here's evidence that the culture is down. That kind of gets old after a while. I do it because I have to do it to try to say there are ways out of this. You want to regain control of your culture that you actually live in, i.e. your county where you do most of your business? You've got to actually get back control of it. You don't have it right now. Heck, Washington, D.C. just sent out a memo, in case you aren't aware of this, which I'm sure you all are, saying you will make your bathrooms gender neutral or you will lose federal aid, federal money. So now what are all the school superintendents and principals doing around the country? They're making their bathrooms gender neutral, i.e. boys can go in there. You don't have any control over that. You don't even have control of that in your county right now. Even if your state is a fairly open to allowing local control over your education system, the bottom line is the federal government just told your education system in your county, in your city, in your town, what it's going to do. And you know most of them are complying. So now you get to send your 18-year-old, your 17-year-old perky daughter, as the article describes her, to school and wonder if she is safe in the bathroom. You want to change your culture? Get back control of the area where you live. You don't have control right now. 5 of 9 politically connected attorneys in black dresses back in June of 2015 struck down your state constitutions, those of you who define marriage as a union between one man and one woman. You have no control over your state. You thought you did. You were told whenever you ratified that amendment to your constitution, yes, we've got to go ratify this amendment to our constitution because we've got to protect the institution of marriage in our state. And the way we do that is by amending our constitution to reflect this reality, to reflect this traditional view of marriage. And you went to your polls, you pulled the lever in November of some year, and you thought, well, we're going to show Washington, D.C., we're making a stand here, Kreslins. We're going to show them. We're going to take a stand. Well, guess what? You all know what I know. In June of 2015, 5 politically connected lawyers in black dresses, we refer to them as the Supreme Court or the Oracles, looked at you and said, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to strike your stupid constitution down. We don't care if you went and voted. Folks, think Sandy Springs, Georgia. What did they want? They wanted local control. They wanted to keep their tax money in their state or in their city. And they wanted to have a voice of government. You want to get control of your county that you actually live in? You better start thinking about how to get back local control, how to stop the 5 politically connected lawyers in black dresses. And I can assure you it is not by voting for your favorite Republican. You better figure out how to stop that group of people first, the 5 oracles who sit on high and send out edicts to all states, all the people of the states, that you will do such and such. You better figure out how to get control away from them. They have it right now. You need to understand 5 politically connected attorneys in black dresses. We refer to them as the Supreme Court. They have control of your state right now. You need to understand that. They have control of your county right now. You better figure out a way to keep your hard-earned tax dollars that are confiscated from you at least near you, i.e. where you live, so that you have some say in how that's spent. Right now, you have no say whatsoever. None whatsoever. Not a thing. You are just expected to supply revenue to the federal government, and you will have no say over it whatsoever. You've got to get that squarely in your mind. You have no control over that $700 that is taken out of your paycheck every month. That is taken from you by your employer. He is then required by law through a 941 to send that money to the federal government. You have no control over it. What happens after it leaves your paycheck? You have no control whatsoever. We've got to figure out a way to get and to keep the money that is confiscated from us where we live. And then thirdly, you know you have no voice over this cultural morass we're seeing with braless protest days. You have no control over your culture whatsoever, none. You can pass all the silly laws you want or ordinances in your county right now, and you know that 5 of 9 politically connected lawyers in black dresses could tell you to go pound sand anytime they want to. My gosh, friends, they just did it. Why? Where's mainstream talk radio talking about that? They can't talk about that. You know why mainstream radio cannot talk about federalism? Because they're all little nationalists. They do believe we are a nation. We come back from this break. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to explain why there's a big difference why we have a taller mountain to climb here in America, here in these United States, plural. I'm going to explain to you why we have a taller mountain to climb than the Brits in the United Kingdom had to climb to even get to this vote that they're holding right now. There are people right now in the United Kingdom that are casting a vote on whether they want to secede from the European Union, whether they want to reclaim their independence. That's happening right now, real time. But I want to explain to you why that was much easier for them and why it will become much, why it is much more difficult for us here in these United States. And part of the fault of that lies mainstream conservative talk radio. Part of that fault lies in the Heritage Foundation. Part of that fault lies in Cato, in the National Right to Life, in the Media Research Center, in National Review, AEI, Free Congress, Americans for Tax Reform, the Family Research Council. Part of that mountain was erected because of those agencies, because of mainstream conservative talk radio. That's why. And it's going to be harder for us here than it was for them in the United Kingdom to cast their votes today about whether or not they want to become an independent, sovereign nation again, or whether they want to stay in union with 27 other countries in what is referred to as the European Union. Our telephone number is 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Remember, if you've missed any of this, this segment, which you will not hear on mainstream conservative talk radio, you will not hear this kind of discussion. If you've missed any of this, well, they're available for streaming and download at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Now, you'll need a Founders Pass membership to access this, and you can get a Founders Pass membership for as little as 23 cents a day. Just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the join button on any page, and you'll see a whole host of ways that you can become a Founders Pass member and get truth like this. Truth you will not hear on Fox News today. Truth you will not hear on every mainstream conservative talk radio show today. You will get this for 23 cents a day. We've got our June targets, friends. We need your help. If you're not a Founders Pass member today, don't put it off. Please become one today. Thank you for everyone who has done so already. You are making this network work. You're making it possible to get this message out. This is the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.